Bless Joseph, correct. How did the Lord bless Joseph? Everything that he did, God prospered. Now imagine if he did nothing. God had nothing to prosper. God prospered what he did. He didn't prosper what he did not do. If he sat down and did nothing, nothing would have prospered. You have to give to God a seed to prosper. Whatever situation you're in, for God to work in your life, it has to start somewhere. You have to give something to God to work a miracle. Every miracle. Now, God doesn't need those things, but he wants your act of faith, I call it. In this Bible, show me any miracle that did not take something from an individual first. God needed something. Moses, the rod. Through the rod, he did signs and wonders. Have you noticed in Elijah and Elisha's life, they are the two prophets in the Old Testament, did a lot of miracles. They always did something. When a place couldn't, the waters couldn't drink, they take a stick and threw the stick. They have to take something. Some natural act of faith. God made all that Joseph did to prosper. I believe that was exactly how Paul continued in his life. Whatever was given to him, he did it faithfully. Because even though he knew and he was called to a big ministry, he knew he would be satisfied in doing whatever God asked him to do. He will do it whether it's recognized or unrecognized. He would do it whether it's difficult or easy. He would do it whether it was big or small. But some people, they will not do anything unless they are recognized or seen. Because they are looking for recognition. They are not really doing it unto God. Some people will only do it if it's easy and not hard. Some people will only do it if it's something big, not something small. But God is speaking to us. We are to do it as long as whatever comes into our hands, we will be faithful. That's Paul. That's the law number one, the progression in ministry, that we have to be faithful to whatever comes across our way, our path. It could be a small little door, small little opportunity, but you never know what God can do out of those things. Do not, there's an Old Testament scripture that says, do not despise the day of small things. Do not despise the day of small things. Law number two in Paul's ministry. Law number one is being faithful where he is planted. In law number two, in the progression of Paul's ministry in the book of Acts 11, notice in Acts 11, verse 25, the door was basically opened by Barnabas. Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. That's Acts 11, 25. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, this sending out was a bigger moment. And it was very supernatural. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. They set them apart, lay hands on them, sent them forth in their first missionary journey. But let's look in a glimpse at all the different points where his ministry moved from one type of ministry to another or increase. Right? This was an increase. Now in Acts 15, let's look at how their second missionary journey began. In Acts 15, verse 36, after some days, that is after the Jerusalem Council when they solved the Gentile question in verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. That was how the second missionary journey began. Just some desire to visit the people. But the second missionary journey was more successful than the first and reached more places than the first and had even more powerful manifestations and miracles than the first. Of course, they also had more persecutions. It came out of just a simple desire to visit the people. And they more than visit, they went beyond the borders of their first missionary journey. And then in what we would call, some call his fourth journey, which was not a full missionary journey, but his fourth journey, at the end of the book of Acts, chapter 19, when he completed, that's just before 18, let's look at chapter 18, in the book of Acts 18. It tells us that he completed his ministry in Corinth in Acts 18, then chapter 19, verse 1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" And he found they have not. So he laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In verse 6, the men were about 12. And so that was when Paul, chapter 19 is more or less in the area where Paul started, you can say, his third missionary journey. But look at Acts 18 again. Acts 18, verse 18 to 22. That is when the second missionary journey sort of closed. We do a closed circuit when he reached back to Antioch. So that closed the second circuit. And so in Acts 18, verse 18 to 23. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. Verse 19, he came to Ephesus and left them there, and he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." And he sailed from Ephesus. And verse 22, he landed at Caesarea. He went to his home church of Antioch in verse 22, where he gave a report. Now notice that the seed of his third missionary journey was in his second missionary journey. As he come to a close of his second missionary journey, remember how his second missionary journey started in Acts 15, just a desire in the heart. So with a desire in the heart, he traveled all over the place. And as he came to Acts 18, he was closing off his second missionary journey. He wanted to go to Jerusalem again to celebrate the feast. As he was closing, he found some disciples in Ephesus. And he spent a short time there, but he was not like concluding. He was not going to stay long. And the disciples there says, "Would you like to come back again? Stay longer." Paul says, "No, I cannot stay now. I got a feast to keep. But I will return. I'll be back." So he says, "I will return." And that, those words were the seed of the third and most powerful of all of Paul's missionary travels, the Ephesian church, which was later founded in Acts 19 that you read earlier, where God did special miracles. But the seed of the third missionary journey was in a second missionary journey, just the words that "I will come back." And then so Paul went back to Antioch, and then he spent some time there, visit a few places after that, around in verse 23. He spent some time there. He departed, went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all the disciples. That was the beginning of his third missionary journey. But in his third missionary journey, the new place that he went to was in Acts 19, when he went to Ephesus and he stayed there for 3 years. And that was when God did powerful things in his third missionary journey. So we see the difference in all the leadings of Paul. Law number two. God is a creative God. And God does not bring you from one progression to another by the same method. So to summarize it in a short sentence, since point number one is be faithful where you're planted, point number two is be open to God's creative leadings. He doesn't lead you by the same method. We humans are creatures of habit. Because God spoke to you that way 10 years ago, and now something new is happening, you expect God to speak the same way now as He did 10 years ago. Sometimes He does that, but many times He doesn't. Don't expect God to always visit you in the same way, do the same things, as if God has no creativity. God enjoys that. Now let's put it all together and say this. At the beginning of his ministry, God used Barnabas to speak to Saul. Correct. It was Barnabas who persuaded Saul to go to Antioch. So God used Barnabas. Then, when he launched his first missionary journey in Acts 13, God spoke supernaturally in a prayer meeting or a worship meeting in Acts 13. They just gathered to worship God and the Holy Spirit spoke to them, confirmed by many others. So they heard God together with one voice. So God spoke supernaturally for the first missionary journey to begin. And then in his second missionary journey, it was all just a stirring in Paul's heart to visit the people he had been to in his first journey. So the third move was just a stirring in his heart. Just a desire in his heart. But it opened a fresh new door that he never reached before. One thing about Paul's missionary journey, each one is different. It reaches more people and different people. And then in the fourth, it was more like he kept a promise to return. At the end of the third, he promised the Ephesians he would return. Because he could feel that, hey, this is a really good place to these are hungry people. I need to flow with the hunger of these people. They have a need for more teaching. He's a teacher. He could fit in nicely. A round pack in a round hole. Just nice, waiting to be filled. But Paul says, I got something to keep. I will return. So in his third missionary journey, it was just a promise to return. And so when Paul was visiting all his people, which has become now his habit, he returned to Ephesus. And stayed there 3 years, two of those years in the school of Tyrannus, and built one of the most powerful and influential churches in Asia Minor. So you have all this supernatural leading each journey. Plus in between each one of them, some of them he had a supernatural leading. Like for example, in the book of in his second missionary journey, he started with a desire in his heart to visit the people. As he visit, he wanted to go to new places. The Holy Spirit stopped him in Acts 16. And then he tried to go to Bithynia. The Spirit forbade him. Then we went to the coastal town of Troas, and he had a vision to go to Philippi, which is a new area. So within that, as he obeyed his desire, he received a vision, and that vision brought him to a new area that he has never been before. So we see God's different ways of leading. What happened if Paul, in his second missionary journey, did not follow his desire to travel? He may have missed the vision because the vision was